emotions are meant to be throttled down so it's appropriate for a child, but they incorporate it. So if there's a question that he has, he's not necessarily encouraged, but he's welcomed to use AI as a tool to try to solve that problem. So for example, I'll use this example. My son has been teaching himself how to code for years. He's always been fascinated with computers, how they operate. He wants to learn more about the backside of things, and it's been a fantastic learning tool for him. When he gets stuck on something, he'll go to ChatGPT that's licensed through the school and ask the question, how do I get this to work? Here's what my code looks like. What am I doing wrong? He knows that I'm not going to be able to help him with it. It has been used as a tool. I think that parents distrusting artificial intelligence is natural, as you should distrust it. I don't think that you want computers and these type of algorithms to be the substitute for you as a parent. I don't think that's healthy. I also think that the messages that they may try to portray to the children are also not healthy. They don't really have your kid's best interest in heart. They don't. They don't have a heart. They're heartless. They're soulless. They are, in so many different ways, just like that. They're soulless. Now, I, as an individual, have looked at some of the creative things people have done with artificial intelligence. You can create music. You can create movies. You can create photos. You can create novels. It's amazing, artistically speaking, the tool that can be used if you can properly prompt it to get the output that you're looking for. It is phenomenal. I don't look at it as a way for me to make a living off of it. I don't think that I'm going to produce a movie based on my prompts. I don't think people would want to consume it. I think it would look like it was made through a computer, soulless, and you would lose all artistic value. But I find artists using it in a proper way is so fascinating to me. Some YouTubers I watch will use this video AI as like cutscenes, you know, a couple 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there. And they'll use this as a way through their narration to cut away from them, then go back to the camera where it's them on the camera, then cut away, then go back to them. And it's used very effectively, just these little cutaways. Now, I don't know how much further this is going to go. And the way the technology has been improving, it may get to the point where you would not be able to distinguish a movie that's made in Hollywood versus a movie that's made through the computer. But I do think that you'll always be able to tell, honestly. It may get to the point where you might be easily tricked, but I think there's going to be other telltale signs. So kind of interesting there. It says a recent PDK poll found parents are not comfortable with AI software, getting personal information about their children, such as grades, and that Americans overall frown upon AI usage for creating lesson plans. Yeah, you don't want your teacher to rely on this sort of thing, too. So I agree. Something else that's happening tomorrow. This is a pretty big deal. Over Meet the Press Sunday on NBC, the host there was asking about the next steps when it comes to the Jeffrey Epstein case. With Congress getting back in soon, apparently tomorrow there's going to be a big press conference regarding Jeffrey Epstein files. Here's the question on Meet the Press. Let's take a listen.
Your bipartisan bill, which would basically call for the release of all of the files related to Jeffrey Epstein, do you think when Congress is back, the bill will go to the floor and it will...
All right, so by the way, this is House Democrats... what's his name again? Mo Khanna, I think it is. Is that how it is? Yeah, Ro Khanna. Here it is.
I'm very confident it will. I spoke to Congressman Massey. You had us both on a few weeks ago. We will have the petition live on September 2nd. We have all 212 Democrats committed to signing it. He has 12 Republicans. Only 6 of them have to sign it. What will be explosive is the September 3rd press conference that both of us are having with 10 Epstein victims, many who have never spoken out before. They're going to be on the steps of the Capitol. They will be telling their story, and they will be saying clearly to the American public that they want the release of the Epstein files for full closure on this matter.
All right. Well, we will track that very closely. Yep.
Okay, so I misspoke. So tomorrow, apparently, there's going to be some sort of petition that's going to be going around for the congressman to look at, but the other thing is, apparently the press conferences are happening on Wednesday, not tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye out on that. And, you know, they keep saying, I don't know if these Republicans are going to take a vote on it. Well, Speaker Mike Johnson came out and said that the House will probably vote on one measure or another related to releasing more information regarding Jeffrey Epstein, convicted sex offender, most likely pedophile. Johnson said he's not sure the move will be a priority, though, as lawmakers have been looking at other important things there. Mostly, one, when we got to get our finances in order, there's definitely more look into that. But two, law and order seems to be the big priority from the president at this point. Law and order referring to, we have a lawless society in certain Democratic-run areas. It has run just terrible circles around law-abiding citizens, terrorizing these communities. It can't be like this forever. You have Donald Trump, who has control of Washington, D.C. He's effectively the governor of Washington, D.C. So he sends the National Guard in there to help clean up some of the violent crimes that were occurring there at the nation's capital. He has the authority to do so. And what has happened since that time? You found that crimes have dramatically dropped. They're not putting up with this violent crime garbage with the National Guard sitting around. Does he have the authority to call it into other areas? I mean, that is the question, maybe unseen at this point. But if I were, let's say, a mayor of a Democratic area, and I had the opportunity to, oh, I don't know, stop murders in my city, even if it's a temporary thing, as in, okay, I would almost welcome that. I would say, you know what, I'm going to call your bluff on this. If you really think this is going to work, go bring in the National Guard, clean up the streets, get the murderers out of here, because, you know, if you think it's so easy, and then go do it. So what's the end game here? You might not be liked by your Democratic colleagues because you worked with Donald Trump, but you're going to be loved by the people that live in that city when you can say, we got rid of X amount of people that committed violent crimes. Murders have been non-existent since they've showed up, and they're only here temporarily. And we're going to be taking this more seriously from here on out because we don't want to live like this anymore. I think it's a winning political proposition for so many of the different politicians out there, Democrat or Republican. Democrats are going to lose if they're going to stay on the hill of, we want to allow lawlessness to continue from here. It's going to be a losing proposition, especially since this case study, let's say Washington, D.C., the optics of it are great, but the results of it are. So that's what the return has to be on that. All right. Paul Fulford is going to be joining us, a healthy living expert on medical misinformation and what ChatGPT is doing to spit out falsities when it comes to medical information. That's going to be interesting. After the break, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD.